You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Thursday, August 27, 2020. The Long and Winding Road, Part 3. A Propane Molecule's Journey to Mont Belvieu and Beyond. Published by Callie Mitchell. About two-thirds of all of the propane consumed in the U.S. is used as fuel for indoor and outdoor cooking, home heating, water heaters, drying crops, and running forklifts and fleet vehicles. The other one-third is used as a feedstock for producing ethylene and other petchems. About 95% of the propane supply to meet this demand is produced and processed right here in the U.S. of A., making propane the most American fuel we've got. But when firing up the grill out back and watching that first propane molecule flash to life, most backyard chefs don't think much about the long and winding road their propane has traveled. It's actually a fascinating tale of supply chain logistics that involves high pressures, bitter cold, wild rides up and down tall towers, storage deep underground, and, of course, trains, trucks, and tanks. We think it's a tale that needs to be told, and that's what we've been doing in this update of another greatest hit blog. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been tracking a typical propane molecule from the point that it departs a shale formation 10,000 feet below the surface of West Texas until it arrives at the burner tip of a propane barbecue grill in your backyard. In part 1, we started with the moment our little propane molecule squeezed through a fracture in the Permian Spraberry Formation and into the wellbore of Brook Funkhauser 19A in Upton County, Texas. Our molecule reached the surface as part of a bubbling, commingled, multiphase stream of crude oil, produced water, and natural gas laden with natural gas liquids, or NGLs, and a host of impurities. It then was processed through separator and heater treater equipment. Our little molecule was flashed off with a stream of NGL-rich natural gas and sent via gathering pipeline system to Targa Resources' 200 million cubic feet per day Joyce Natural Gas Processing Plant, where it was chilled to minus 120 degrees Fahrenheit. At that point, most of the NGLs in the gas stream, including our little molecule, condensed into liquid phase, while the methane kept on flowing into a natural gas pipeline. Our molecule had officially become a natural gas liquid, but not yet propane because it was all mixed up with ethane, normal butane, isobutane, pentane, and a smattering of other hydrocarbons, in addition to other propane molecules. This cocktail, known by the cryptic name Y-grade, aka raw mix, needed to be fractionated, or split, into the five NGL purity products. So our molecule with all of its brethren and sistren were pumped off to a connection with Targa's Grand Prix pipeline for a 533-mile trip to the center of the NGL universe, the storage and processing hub at Mont Belvieu, or more specifically the Targa Cedar Biofractionate, or CBF complex. In part 2, our molecule made it to Mont Belvieu and then was unceremoniously pumped into a deep, dark salt cavern thousands of feet underneath the processing complex for storage. A few weeks later, it was summoned back to the surface along with all the other molecules in the Y-grade stream and ready to enter Targa's Frac 6. After moving up and down a couple of the big towers, our molecule enthusiastically emerged as propane, and we call it purity propane, although it still has a few percent of ethane hanging around, along with a smattering of other molecules. Then it was back to an underground salt cavern for storage. After languishing for a few days encased in the salt cavern, our propane molecule was again summoned back to the surface, taking a right-hand turn as it emerged from the cavern, and headed to the rail rack where it is scheduled to be loaded on a railcar. But before it got there, our molecule encountered the most repulsive smell imaginable, ethyl. Now the smell is everywhere. Today, we pick up our saga at the point of this foul-smelling incident. It turns out that ethyl is really ethyl mercaptan, an odorant added to propane so people can detect leaks in tanks and appliances with nothing more than their noses. It's also called ethane thiol, or it's more common, and descriptive, name, stench. It's a clear liquid that is added to propane, natural gas, and some other fuels that has the odor of rotten eggs, or some people say of cooked cabbage. It doesn't take much ethyl mercaptan to make propane smell. Humans can detect it in concentrations as low as 1 part in 2.8 billion parts of air. Propane with ethyl mercaptan added is said to have been odorized. Usually this happens when propane leaves primary storage terminals in rail cars or trucks. Due to this, a commercial market for propane is sometimes called the market for odorized propane, whereas most propane that has not been odorized goes into petrochemical plants or to docks for export. A lot of folks use odorized propane in the U.S. according to the Propane Education and Research Council, or PERC, 50 million American homes use propane in some capacity. In 2018, there were nearly 12 million total residential accounts across the U.S. using odorized propane, including 5.7 million households using propane as their primary space heating fuel. There were another 2.2 million commercial, industrial, farm, and other propane users. Back to our propane molecule that has now been loaded onto a propane rail car. This is not just any old tank car. It is specially designed to safely transport high-pressure liquids rolling down railroads across North America. That's because propane boils at minus 43.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which means it evaporates into a gas just as soon as the pressure is off. So the pressure stays on. These cars typically hold 33,700 gallons of propane, or about 800 barrels. They are 60 feet long, are 10 feet in diameter, and weigh 100,000 pounds unloaded. Full of propane, they weigh about 260,000 pounds. So our propane molecule has a lot of company as it rolls down the track, headed to a propane storage terminal, or tank farm, near your home. Our molecule's rail car arrives with another half dozen cars at a propane storage terminal. Such terminals are the primary connection between rail and pipeline shipments to the next leg of the journey by truck. Located just off the rail line where the cars can be unloaded, these rail and truck out terminals typically have several bullet storage tanks. The term bullet refers to the shape of these tanks. Most of these facilities are owned either by midstream companies engaged in the wholesale propane market, or by propane retail companies, usually the larger companies that have the wherewithal to operate these large propane distribution facility. A bullet tank might hold anywhere between 20,000 and 90,000, or 475 to 2,100 barrels. Our molecule is unloaded into one of those bullets, where it sits for a few days before being transferred into an 11,000-gallon propane transport truck. Next stop, the retail bulk plant. Now, in the transport truck's tank, our molecule is getting excited. It seems like we are finally getting somewhere. And we are. After an hour or so on the road, our molecule's transport unloads into a retail propane dealer's bulk plant tank, which is the final staging area before propane is delivered to the end-use customer. If the propane is destined for home delivery, there is a pretty good chance it will get there in a bobtail. The propane retailer might be one of the big guys, like AmeriGas, Ferrellgas, Suburban, CHS, or Superior. But it is likely to be one of the 4,000 small, mostly family-owned retailers that has been in business for generations taking care of local market needs. A bobtail is not in the cards for our propane molecule, however. Instead, after resting for a while in the retailer's bullet storage tank, our molecule is headed to the cylinder loading station, which, depending on the size of the retailer, can be a large automated piece of equipment or a single-cylinder filling unit. Most residential cylinders are 20-pound propane tanks, and that's where our propane molecule is headed. These familiar tanks can theoretically hold almost 5 gallons of propane, but you would never fill them that full due to safety reasons. Most likely a filled 20-pound propane cylinder will hold a little over 4 gallons of propane. How much does a 20-pound propane cylinder weigh? This is not a trick question. An empty propane cylinder weighs about 17 pounds, 1 gallon of propane weighs about 4.2 pounds, so a full cylinder of propane weighs about 35 pounds. Although many retailers can fill tanks, these days most 20-pound tanks are provided to customers via tank exchange programs at grocery stores, gas stations, campgrounds, and similar sites. You bring your empty tank in and exchange it for a full tank, paying only for the propane. Our molecule heads out to the cylinder filling station at MyGas Incorporated and then is loaded on a truck headed to the Quickie Mart propane tank exchange cage. And you know the rest of the story. You exchange your empty at the Quickie Mart for a full cylinder, take it home, hook it up to the barbecue grill, and fire it up. Our little molecule is ecstatic to help make your burger just a little more perfect. Hope you enjoyed the long and winding road traveled by our propane molecule from 10,000 feet below the wellhead to the barbecue grill in your backyard. It's a great industry that makes this happen, employing 44,000 people in the retail sector alone, and another 13,000 folks if you include upstream and midstream businesses tied directly to odorized propane, according to PERC. Propane is clean, green, reliable, and abundant. Odorized propane's contribution to U.S. GDP for 2018 was estimated at $53.6 billion. Now that you really know propane, it's time to go out, buy some propane produced and processed right here in the U.S. of A. and get to grilling. The Long and Winding Road was written by Paul McCartney and credited to Lennon and McCartney. It appears as the seventh cut on side two of the Beatles' 12th studio album, Let It Be. Released as a single in May 1970, the song went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It would be the 20th and last number one single for the Beatles. McCartney wrote the song at his farm in Scotland, inspired by the growing tensions in the band during the filming of the Let It Be documentary film. McCartney was unhappy with the orchestral and chorale overdubs added to the song by producer Phil Spector. In 2003, McCartney oversaw the remix of Let It Be, entitled Let It Be, Naked. In that version, he removed the Spector embellishments and presented the song in its raw form. Personnel on the record were Paul McCartney, on lead vocals and acoustic piano, John Lennon, on bass, George Harrison, on electric guitar, Ringo Starr, on drums, and Billy Preston, on Fender Rhodes electric piano. Let It Be is the 12th and final released studio album of the Beatles. It was recorded at Twickenham Studios and Abbey Road Studios in London between January 1969 and April 1970 as part of a documentary film showing the Beatles returning to their live performing roots. In the finished film, you can sense the discord among the band members. They were basically breaking up the Beatles as the cameras rolled. The Spector-produced Let It Be album was released in May 1970 and went to number one on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 4 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 3 singles were released from the LP. The Beatles were an English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1962, with band members John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. The Beatles changed the face of rock and roll. The band was featured in 4 motion pictures and released 23 studio albums, 5 live albums, 53 compilation albums, 21 EPs, and 63 singles. They have sold more than 600 million records worldwide. The band has won 1 Academy Award, 4 Brit Awards, 7 Grammy Awards, and 15 Ivor Novello Awards. They have a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All 4 Beatles are members of the Order of the British Empire. Paul McCartney was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in March 1997. Ringo Starr, or Richard Starkey, was knighted by the Duke of Cambridge in March 2018. The Beatles officially broke up in April 1970. John Lennon died in 1980, followed by George Harrison in 2001. McCartney and Starr continue to record and tour as solo artists.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.